We're out there, we're on the edge of the organization. We're assigned to look for new innovation, have been relocated to Chicago or Silicon Valley or somewhere like this. How do you go about building an ecosystem that is seen to bring this great value inside business back home? And secondly, do you push for more open sourcing as part of this ecosystem value? Is there a platform that can enable this? There's a mixture of questions in there. Mm-hmm. How did you come about that?
So I think one of the most important things whenever a large enterprise starts to reach out to the entrepreneur to try to collaborate, to try to build those innovation bridges, is there needs to quickly become a mutual respect. We have to respect the entrepreneur's journey. We have to understand the journey that that entrepreneur is likely on, that they're as concerned about making payroll tomorrow or demonstrating to their investors next week that they've got value and that they need to continue on to the next iteration. At the same time, we have to understand as entrepreneurs and respect what the enterprise is really trying to accomplish. Right? Very oftentimes, we will come into the room where we'll see an entrepreneur and an enterprise on opposite sides of the table, and they're very well-meaning. They both want to figure out a way to do business with each other, but they spend most of the time talking straight past each other because they don't have common aligned interests, right? The entrepreneurs got this thing, and this thing is the best thing in the world, and this thing is something that's going to totally transform this giant enterprise, and I don't understand why the giant enterprise isn't writing me a check tomorrow for this thing. And the giant enterprise is looking back at the entrepreneur and saying, well, you know, that thing you've got is kind of interesting. I don't really think it solves that important of a problem for us, but it might actually solve something that is important for us in this other part of the business that I'm afraid to tell you about. I'm afraid to open the kimono and share with you because we just don't have that sort of trusted collaborative relationship yet. And very often those ships pass in the night. I think that's where having a force multiplier like a TechNexus in the room often helps, because we can continue the conversation on a longer horizon. We can have aligned interest and act as a force multiplier on both sides of that table, understanding what both sides of that equation really need to accomplish.
Do you think there's any merit in companies just coming quietly, setting up somewhere in Chicago or in Silicon Valley, not coming to sit down inside an incubator or inside something, and just sort of getting on, soaking up that atmosphere, pursuing some of where sort of feelings about either technology or the environment, because, you know, it has something that's a little bit different that's been identified. What's the sort of downside, do you think, of staying independent?
So, you know, we've talked about setting up the innovation ecosystems. That's been the nature of our conversation all morning.
Right.
I think it's inherent that an innovation ecosystem is diverse. Any ecosystem that's not diverse, that doesn't have lots of points of view, is doomed to ultimately fail. And so the idea that you could set up an innovation lab inside of your enterprise and only talk to your current employees and only talk to your current customers about what you ought to be focused on is ultimately doomed to fail. It's ultimately not pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely. It's a big mistake, isn't it?
The idea of taking even that innovation lab and saying, I'm going to move it outside the corporate firewall. I'm going to set it up in a cool loft somewhere down in the city. And my team that was working on IT projects internally, now I'm going to cut them loose and go tell them that suddenly I'm going to measure their success entirely differently. But still, it's an island into itself, another unbalanced, not diversified ecosystem. So the best ecosystems are such that they do step outside the corporate firewall. They do get beyond the limited current understanding of the business that current employees and current customers might have. But it also is set up to engage new talent, recruit bright young minds out of universities that don't bring any existing bias to the industry. Bring entrepreneurs to the discussion who don't know enough about the industry, but do have technology or have ideas that could be applied to that industry. Yeah. Have an open, honest conversation about where your industry and your business is today and where you expect to see it in 5 years. You know, so many of the large enterprises have spent decades, with sort of the Six Sigma approach to innovation, right? So find that thing that you do well, reduce it to where all variables are off the table, and that you can just execute over and over and over and over and over again and get the same results. That mentality in innovation just doesn't work. You've got to be able to take risks. You've got to be able to inject new ideas. You've got to be able to collaborate, meaningfully collaborate with people that you maybe have never collaborated with as an enterprise or as an organization before, and respect those people, right? Understand that an entrepreneurial idea, albeit very small or very distant from its implications or impact on your business, respect that as having the potential to not only be relevant to you, but truly disruptive to you. Because we're living in a time when I think that disruption is around every corner in every industry. And if you're in a large enterprise who doesn't think that their business is in jeopardy, that the thing that they've done well for the last decade is what they're going to do well for the next decade, if you're in a company that doesn't understand that that's just not a fact, then you're in trouble.
And I think that's a very good point to sort of leave it there, because I think there's an absolute super set of messages in what you just said in the last couple of minutes, in the form of the value of an ecosystem, the value of diversity, the value of different opinions, the whole sort of exposure to radically just alter your mindset. You covered, I think, a terrific amount of why relationships, why networks, why ecosystems have become so relevant, so important, and everybody's just got to somehow adopt them. Is there anything else you want to pick up on or bring out, Terry, at this moment before we wrap up?
You know, Paul, we've talked about the fact that disruption, unprecedented amounts of disruptions happening right now on the global economic level, but I think if you look at some of the underlying trends that are contributing to that disruption, that informs also what innovation agendas ought to include. Some of the underlying trends there are obviously the rapid speed of technology, the fact that technology applicability to industries that it had never considered before, that taking things like IoT and automation and robotics are contributing to that. But also, that's having an impact on the redefinition of work. What is work even going to mean 5 years from now or 10 years from now? And we're seeing an entire new generation of workers that have entered the workforce, the millennial generation that have come in, technology native, that have come in really experiencing a pace of innovation in their own personal lives that no generation had seen before us. These are underlying trends, right? So as a large enterprise, so many of the big companies are now saying things like, well, I've got to go open an office downtown where young people want to live now and where they want to work. Well, that was entirely different than what it was 25 years ago when everyone fled to the suburbs. But looking at those underlying trends, the type of worker that's entering the workforce, the long-term implications of what the future of work even is, the speed at which technology is both being developed and applied to industries that it's never been applied to before. These are trends that I think any enterprise needs to understand, because they're ultimately what is driving the innovation agenda. They're ultimately what's driving the way we approach innovation collectively and collaboratively together.
And I think that's where you play again another pretty important role here, is you're very much focusing on the trends, you're focusing on all of the dynamics that are going on in and around you, because you're exposed to more than one industry, you're exposed to more than one startup. You've got this, as you say, this history behind you of organizations you've helped, and this history ahead of you of where you're going with a lot of the people you're in. So all of this adds up to a very significant bundle of activities and as a dynamism that can actually give great value to an organization to shift them from their current mindset, can't it?
Well, we really hope so. We hope that the the collaborative approach, the model that we've developed, is already proving very successful and very helpful for a number of our enterprise partners. It certainly has been more appealing to the ventures that we bring to the table and ultimately invest into. At the end of the day, that collaboration, that nexus between the large enterprise that really wants to engage externally, that wants to source innovation in new ways, and particularly from the entrepreneurial ecosystem, that nexus that exists between those entrepreneurs and those ventures and the enterprises, it's got to be facilitated. It's got to be managed, and there needs to be, as we said earlier, a partner who is a true force multiplier with aligned interests on both sides of the table. That's where we've seen success so far. That's, you know, we'll invest in over 250 ventures in the next 18 to 24 months across a number of different industries, across more than a dozen different enterprise partners. Much of the technologies are the same. It's IoT and automation and robotics, and it's the things that we already understand are transforming large business. But we're looking at how those things apply to the aviation industry, to the mining industry, to the marine industry, to finance, to retail. In some ways, those are very different industries with very different circumstances. But in other ways, particularly as it relates to how technology is going to redefine them, and particularly how entrepreneurs can contribute to that process, it's much the same that we're going through in each of those conversations and each of those collaborations.
Yeah, because what I was putting down the word blurring. I mean, everything is fusing, if not blurring. Everything is coming because, as you say, technology can be applied everywhere in every type of different industry application, and robotics and things of this nature. And as you say, the more you are into that in one part set of industries, the more you can help take that across into another set of industries. That understanding and that recognition in those early forming ideas, to be able to then see how they translate that going forward in their own specific position or challenge. Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer that entrepreneurs need harder problems to solve. We have celebrated an entrepreneurial class in this country that's almost mythological, that is usually consumer brand driven. So consumers, the media, recognizes a product or a service or something that an entrepreneur creates, and therefore we can celebrate it. But the ones that often are invisible are those B2B or enterprise technologies that exist beyond really the recognition of most consumers, and unfortunately beyond even the recognition of most of the media and the storytellers. I think the more that we are able to take major industries, large companies that have been successful in those industries for a very long time, and bring their problem sets to a new class of entrepreneur, say, this is something that you don't know, a problem that you don't know about that I can show you. And then let those entrepreneurs use their methodology, let them ideate around how to apply their technology, their passions, their solutions to that new set of problems. That's how all of this is ultimately going to work. It's inherently collaborative. The entrepreneur that is a hammer in search of a nail ultimately doesn't succeed. And the enterprise that's willing to do technology tourism or pet an entrepreneur day without the ability to close that chasm that exists in the early stages of the relationship ultimately will also not succeed.